Today, I'd like to continue my series that I've been presenting to you. We've been looking at this No Shades of Grey series, where God shines his light into darkness. There's no shades of grey about certain things like sin. No shades of grey about the redemption that we have in Christ. No shades of grey about fear. Last week, we looked at repentance. Today, I want to tell you the truth about you. There's no shades of grey about that either. Love to construct ideas about who we are, our characteristics, our identity. We make up, we're shaped, aren't we? We're shaped by the people around us, by our parents, by our siblings, by the environment we're in. It all has an impact on who we are. Sometimes we get lost in that too, don't we? Have you ever heard of someone saying, "I've got to go and find myself"? There's been a few movies like that. I think that's something common for our day and age. People are trying to find themselves. So they've got this loss of identity. Who am I really? Who is at the heart of who I am? It's a problem for people, because if they're not lifted up by those around them, if they're not encouraged by their parents or, in school, if they're failed in life, then, who are they really? What do they mean in this life? They're deep questions, and they're probably deep questions each and every one of you have asked in your lifetime. It's serious stuff. God's got something to say into that space. And I think the prodigal son is just one of those most beautiful stories that Jesus has told us in the Gospels that can shape us. I'm especially going to talk to the youth today, because as Chris was saying, there's a big future. There's a 50-year-old in Aaron, we pray. They've got a lot of life in front of them. A lot of you guys have done a lot of life. You've got a lot of life behind you. But I think the prodigal son talks to all of us. But youth, open your ears here today. Let it shape your futures. I love the parables of Jesus. He has a beautiful way of just a simple story. Pastors could probably learn from this. A simple, short story that just hits home with a kingdom truth. Pastor Michael's going to take some liberties with that parable and make it turn into a 20-minute sermon. So maybe not 20 minutes. But I love unpacking it to draw out that deeper truth for us. So we had Jesus explaining this son, a parable about a son. He's a farmer's son. And he's thinking to himself one day, dad's got a fair bit of wealth behind him. Look at all this. And when he dies, I'm going to get a part of this. That means I'm going to be rich. And that's going to be a good thing. You can just see he's thinking, can't you, this son. And then he's thinking, why do I have to wait until dad dies? Maybe I could get it now. Young people have these wonderful ideas. Don't we? You probably have all had them. Come up with harebrained ideas that make absolutely no sense. Just looking out for yourself. But sure, let's go for it. And he does. He goes and asks Dad. Dad, I want part of the farm. I want my inheritance now. Are you kidding? Inheritance is for when people die and they pass it on. It's a legacy left to the next generation. For us in our day and age, maybe that's not such a big thing, but think back to farming communities. Farms were passed down to generation to generation. Owning land is an important thing. I know the PNG people here probably know all about that. Land and identity, it's so critical. So to say to your dad, Dad, I basically wish you were dead and I don't want any more part of this family. I just want the money and all the good stuff that's going to offer me. What a young person thing to do, really. And the funny thing, the contrast in this parable, any realistic dad would have said, go put your head in the water trough or something like that. No way. But how good is this dad? He goes, okay. And off he goes. He divides up the property, gives his son his lot. And it must have been a lot. Land's never cheap. And so he's sitting on a fair old chunk of wealth for his life. He's set up now, isn't he? He's got millions in his pocket, probably. So what does he do? Does he continue on the farm legacy? Does he live that hard life of working his hands to the bone and tilling the soil and sweating and labouring? No. He chases after something that looks better, something that in his thinking will lead him to a better and greater future. The good life, the glamorous life, the life that money can buy you. Off he goes. He better not do this around home because his parents are still there. So off he goes, off to a foreign land, and he starts spending it in wild living, our Bible text says. Just leave that up to your own imaginations. What's wild living for you? I have to say, I was that son at one stage. I chased after wild living in my life. For me, that was probably going out and partying and drinking and wasting my money on that kind of lifestyle. This prodigal son spends. Later on, we hear his brother saying that he spent it on prostitutes. Interesting way to live it up. He's living a lifestyle that he thinks is great. It's bringing him a good time in the here and now, but it comes at a cost, doesn't it? Everything in life comes at a cost. Youth, listen to this. Everything in life comes at a cost. That wild lifestyle, that living it up, having a great time, having a party, came at the cost, in one sense, to his hip pocket. All his money was gone, says our text. But also came at a cost to his identity. He was a wealthy farmer's son, and now he was nothing. He went from being privileged to being absolutely worthless. He'd gone from security and hope of generations of hope to wasting it all away. In our lives, whatever we turn to, whatever we spend our lives on, whatever we spend our money on, whatever we invest ourselves, comes at a cost. For our youth, if you go chasing a career, depending on the career and how much you invest in that, that will come at a cost at other things. Maybe at a cost of family, being able to spend time maybe in a church. I chased after glory as a newspaper photographer. Some people have been asking what I used to do. I was a newspaper photographer. I wanted to be the greatest newspaper photographer, maybe on the East Coast. We won't say the West Coast of Australia. I was really chasing after that. I invested everything I had into my career, and it was good. It seemed like I was getting places, but it came at a great cost. I became depressed, an alcoholic. I left my family behind, chasing my dreams. It seemed like I was getting there. I was getting accolades. I was winning awards for my photography. They were paying me more and more money. It was brilliant, but I just lost everything in my pursuit of dreams. Prodigal son lost everything. He had to turn to the lowest of jobs. It might not seem so low to us, feeding pigs, but think to his Israelite hearers of this story originally. Pigs were unclean animals. No Israelites kept pigs. They were the dirtiest of animals for them. And so just think of the worst job ever. I couldn't even think of it when I was trying to write this sermon. I was like, what, port-a-loo cleaner? I don't know. Something really disgusting that makes you unclean. Touching a pig made an Israelite clean. So being in the muck with them, feeding them, becoming the worst kind of person in the world, that's where he sunk to. We call it rock bottom. I pray none of you ever hit rock bottom, but it does happen. I hit rock bottom, where I was so broken and lost and I didn't know where to turn. It's amazing how in the darkness, one single light, a glimmer of light, can guide the way. For the prodigal son, he thought of his dad and their workers and how, man, they had more food than they knew what to do with. They were well looked after. Maybe, just maybe, if I go back to my dad and say sorry, maybe he'd accept me as a servant, as a hired worker. There's a little bit of hope there, a glimmer of hope. For me, luckily, my parents planted in my life a glimmer of hope in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I knew God was there. I knew God was there. I couldn't see him in the midst of all my struggles. And yet I knew there was a glimmer of hope. Today, for all the youth, I pray over you guys, wherever life takes you, no matter what twists and turns come your way, that glimmer of life that you have in your Savior, Jesus Christ, just stays there and you cling to it because it's amazing what can happen. And that's what's amazing about this second part of this parable, isn't it? Hits rock bottom, turns around, he heads for home. All Jesus' hearers at that stage, all the men in the crowd were like, yeah, right, the son's about to cop it. He's about to get what he deserves from his dad. His dad's going to put him in his place. You know, even God set some laws up over the Israelites to deal with wayward sons, rebellious sons. A father could take their wayward son to the elders of the town and they could sentence him to death. It was that critical that sons followed in the footsteps of their fathers and respected them. You know the Ten Commandments? And in there, after loving God, comes our parents. We're to honour our parents. So critical to God's kingdom. And so the son, he's broken everything with his father. And so you could just expect the hearers of this story just going, right, here we go. The father's going to dish it out. He's going to serve him up what he deserves. And so the shocking part of this prodigal story is how the father reacts. I love it. He sees the son a far way off in the distance. He can tell it's his son. And there's a heart condition going on in the father. He's not ready to smash his son and put him in his place. He's ready to welcome him home. He's obviously been on the lookout for this son, the son that had wandered off and left the family behind. His heart condition made him hitch up his dress. You know, the guys in those days wore long clothes. Hitched it up to go for a run. Think of a property owner. Think of a rich man who's got people that do the running for him. Here he is, baring his legs and off he goes for a run because he can see his son. It says something about the father's love. The son's coming back in misery and shame and brokenness. And here's the father running out to him. It's a beautiful picture. Throws his arms open, embraces his son and kisses him. The pig feeder, the dirty, disgusting pig feeder, broken son. It's a beautiful picture of love, isn't it? And so the son, who's just lavished in that love, the son could react and say, yeah, g'day, Dad. I'm back for some more money. Bank account's empty. No son's ever done that before, have they? The son, we talked about this last week, repented. He confessed his sin to his father. He said, Dad, I've sinned against heaven and against you. It's a funny confession. All the sin the son has done has been against the family, hasn't it? Been against the dad, selling up, saying, I wish you were dead. And yet the son's able to say, actually, I've sinned against God. How God has wanted me to live by respecting you. I admit that. My sin between you and me has actually affected my relationship with my father. Remember the truth about sin. It's not just breaking our relationships here, but it's stuffing up our relationship with our Father. Never let sin get in the road of your relationships. You need to seek reconciliation. And the son, in the face of that love, doesn't say, good on you, Dad, I'm here, I'll take whatever you can give me. He says, I am a sinner. I need your forgiveness. It's a beautiful picture of reconciliation, isn't it? Someone who is open to loving and someone who is open to confessing. It's controversial, this kind of love. I don't know about you, but there's lots of broken relationships out there, relationships that aren't quite right, relationships that just grind away. Maybe not so confrontational of saying, Dad, you're dead, give me the money, I've blown it, I'm broken, accept me back. Maybe it's a little bit more mundane in your lives. Maybe there's a sibling that you haven't spoken to for a while. Maybe there's a son or daughter that needs a phone call. Maybe there's a neighbor that you've felt a bit annoyed with, that you've withheld from. I challenge you this week, put reconciliation into place. Ask for love and forgiveness and give it where people come to you. Fathers, how exciting would it be for your child next time you see them that you run to them and throw your arms around them and kiss them? My dad's never done that to me. I'm always lived away from home. The Rudolphs were a bit standoffish. It's more of a handshake. How much would it speak of love and the commitment of a father to a son if they embraced their son and kissed them? Not an Australian thing to do, is it? A bit more of a French thing. This picture in the parable of the prodigal son, of course, is this picture of the love of God for us. All this controversy and breaking the father's heart, saying, I wish you were dead, I'm going my own way, that's the truth about us. Sin turns us away from our Lord. No matter what sin, from a lie to murder, it's all the same. It turns our back on the Lord, says, I'm going my own way. I know what's best. And off we go. We heard about that in repentance. It's like we walk away from the Lord. We turn our back on him. And yet, hopefully, in our lives, in our days, we can turn back to the Lord and ask for his forgiveness. And know that our Father will be there with open arms accepting us. You know, when we fall into sin, sometimes we can feel so ashamed that we can't bear to face up to our Father. If we ever forget how much he loves us, we just have to think of that Father with his arms out. And if we can't picture our God loving us like that, then see Jesus Christ who stretched his arms out on the cross, loving you, who would stretch his arms out for your sin. Everything that has separated you from the love of your Father, Jesus Christ embraced on that cross and took it to the grave with him. Good news is that because of the love of the Father, he raised the Son up to eternal life to rule victorious over our sin, the stuff that has separated us from our God. So now, we don't have to fear that our God judges us and is going to pay us out for our sin to tell you, yep, you deserve that. I told you, don't go that way. No, that's not our Father at all, is it? Our Father loves us so much. The truth about you is that God loves you. That's your identity. You're a beloved child of God. A God that loves you beyond your deepest failing. A God who will run to you, to embrace you, to wrap you up in his love, to tell you that you're worth it. Where sin looks to break us down and separate us from the love of God, he embraces us and tells us, no, you are my child. I place my ring on you. I place my robe of righteousness on you. I put my sandals on your feet. You are my son. You are my daughter. You are lifted up. You are worthy to be my child. I reinstate you to your fullness. The truth about you is that God loves you more than your sin. And the truth about you is God would spare nothing to enjoy your company for eternity. So for each and every one of you, when you wake up in the morning, I pray that you can tap into this identity that you have, this eternal identity as a beloved child of God. See your Father embracing you each day. Live in that identity. Flee from the lies of the devil who tells you you're not good enough, if you're too dirty, you're not doing great enough. First and foremost, in your conversations, when someone asks you this week, who are you? Just say, I'm a child of God. How many of you flip that out in your conversation? Yeah, thumbs up. Let's do it again. Turn to the person next to you. Tell them who you are. Go for it. Tell them, I am a child of God. That's why we're here. That's why we're family. As you continue to live in that identity, the things of this world, those things that happen in our past, the future that we have ahead of us, those things will come and go. But our identity as a child of God will last forever. So today, feel that embrace of your loving Heavenly Father. Youth, live out that identity that you have. You are so important to your Heavenly Father. He has done everything for you to be His child. And I pray that you can walk with Him. Walk with Him all your days. Now, of course, our parable didn't finish on that note, though, did there? There was another son. Oh, the other son, the beloved son that stayed at home and was just good. I pray that you're that son. You just stay within the fold all your lives. It's a beautiful place to be. Unfortunately, that son got a bit complacent, though, didn't he? He forgot about his identity as a beloved son. So as you walk with the Lord, maybe you'll fall into complacency. Just hear what the Lord said to that son, that everything I have is yours. That's who you are. Live in that identity. I pray that you can just well that up each day. Wake up, proclaim it to the world. Everything that the Lord has is mine. I'm a beloved child of God. And I pray that He can lead you into His eternal home through the grace that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Extravagant God, prodigal God, You have been lavish in Your love towards us. You have been reckless in Your love in sending Your only Son to die for us. You've paid the price for our sin. There's nothing now that can ever separate us from Your love. Help us never to wander away from our home in You. And when we wander, Lord, give us the presence of mind, the hope, that glimmer of light in our lives to guide us back to You. Lord, give us the confidence knowing that no matter what we do in life, You are faithful. Help us to confess our sin and know that in Jesus Christ You love us beyond that sin, and that You forgive us, and that You embrace us, and that You call us righteous in His name. So Lord, let us live in that identity each and every day so that we can be Your hands and feet in this world. We can be this new creation in Jesus Christ so that we can bring Your love and hope alive for many others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.